VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do welcome you here to Crosstalk on VCY America. It is going to be a news roundup day here today. There is much that has transpired this week, and we're really only going to scratch the surface on these issues. And my mind goes back to a caller from a couple of weeks ago and just said, you know, I'm frightened by this. Well, the stories that we share are not to frighten us. It's to waken us up. It's to waken us up to reality. And the alarm clock is going off. It should be going off in our Christian minds and hearts. And ladies and gentlemen, as to quote now with the Lord, Adrian Rogers, it's no time to hit the snooze button. We need to be alert to the things that are going on. We need to certainly understand the times in which we live and to see the importance of intense prayer for our nation and our states and our churches, but also that of sharing the good news of the gospel with a world that's in need. We see a world that's in decay. It's falling apart at the seams, and we need to draw people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's going to count for eternity, and we're talking eternal values through this. Yes, we understand the issues that are going on around us, but we keep our eyes focused on the Lord. So even as we share these things, the despair we should have, we should certainly mourn over the sin and the things that are hitting our culture today, but keeping our eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to begin with some things happening in the House this very week. The House Judiciary Committee, as townhall.com points out, Democrats have passed a resolution to set the ground rules on an impeachment inquiry against President Trump. The conduct under investigation poses a threat to our democracy, said the chairman, Jerry Nadler, maintaining in his opening statement, quote, "We have an obligation to respond to this threat, and we are doing so." Well, the vote would in part allow Nadler to call impeachment hearings and allow staff members to question witnesses in those hearings. This is after they passed some legislation dealing with gun control, and this was enough for Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. He was frustrated that in the 48 hours of this committee hearing, the committee had voted to strip Americans of their Second Amendment rights and try and impeach the duly elected president. I'd like you to hear what Congressman Jim Jordan had to say in regard to this matter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. 2 days ago, Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee voted to take away an American citizen's Second Amendment rights. You voted to do that even though that citizen had committed no crime. And you voted to allow their rights to be taken in a court proceeding that that citizen doesn't even get to show up to defend themselves. Now today, you're changing the rules to make it easier for you to pursue impeachment of the President of the United States. Changing the rules 9 months into the new Congress. First you vote to take away Americans' firearms, then you vote to impeach the guy they elected president, all in 1 week. Actually, all in less than 48 hours in the House Judiciary Committee. The committee that's supposed to protect the rules, supposed to protect constitutional rights, all in less than 48 hours you're doing it. And why are you changing the rules? Why are you changing the rules? The gentlelady from Arizona was right. Because nothing else has worked for you. The Michael Cohen hearing was a flop. The John Dean hearing was a flop. And everyone in the country knows the Bob Mueller hearing. They saw it. That was a flop. So let's change the rules in the middle of the game, because we got to find something. We're out to get this. We got to find something. Never forget how this whole thing started. Never forget how this whole thing started. A false accusation about the President of the United States, saying the president coordinated with a foreign country to influence the election. Jim Comey investigated that for 10 months. Guess what? He found nothing. And we know he found nothing because we deposed him, and he told us after 10 months they didn't have a thing. But that didn't stop it. 22 months later, Bob Mueller does a special counsel investigation. He investigates it for 22 months. And what does he tell us? Other members have already said this. He found nothing. No coordination between the Trump campaign and Russia to impact the election. 32 months of investigations. They find nothing. But what do Democrats want to do? What do they want to do now? Change the rules. Keep investigating, because we got to find something so we can impeach this president. Maybe the country would be better served. Maybe the constituents we represent would be better served if we actually figured out how the false accusation happened. And the good news is, as I've said before in this committee, the good news is that's exactly what the Attorney General of the United States is doing. And thank God for Bill Barr. That's exactly what he's doing. But you know what? We could do the same thing. We could do the same thing. And a great place to start is right where Mr. Chabot just said. Why don't we start with the Inspector General, not just any Inspector General, the Inspector General for the Justice Department, which we have jurisdiction over, just issued a report 2 weeks ago, scathing report on the guy who's most responsible for this three-year saga that our country has had to live through, Jim Comey. Jim Comey, the guy who opened the investigation in July of 2016. Jim Comey, the guy who allowed Peter Strzok to run that investigation after that guy had ran the Clinton investigation, after that guy had said to Lisa Page, another FBI employee, don't worry, Lisa, we'll stop Trump. Jim Comey, the guy who allowed the dossier to go to the secret court to be used to spy on a fellow American associated with the Trump campaign. Jim Comey, who leaked information to the New York Times through his friend so we would get the special counsel. Jim Comey, the guy who on January 6th goes to Trump Tower trying to trap the president while he's telling the president he's not under investigation. Scathing report by the Inspector General on that guy. And when I asked the chairman 2 days ago, when he was busy taking away people's Second Amendment rights, when I asked him two days ago when we might have a chance to question the Inspector General, his response, the chairman of the judiciary's response was, I don't know, we haven't thought about that. That is scary. That is scary when you have the Inspector General issue that kind of report and the chairman of the Judiciary Committee doesn't even know a thing about it, hasn't even thought about when we're going to bring him in so we can talk to him. This is the Judiciary Committee, for goodness sake. And think about what has happened in 48 hours in this committee. This is scary. And everyone in the country knows, and everyone who said this earlier, they know that there aren't the votes to do this. There aren't the votes to do this right. So you're playing this game in the Judiciary Committee, of all places. Maybe if you were a little less focused on taking people's Second Amendment rights and impeaching the guy they made president, we could actually do what this committee is supposed to do. I yield back.
Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio. Well, the House Judiciary Committee voted yesterday 24-17 to define the rules for future committee impeachment hearings. The committee is now not writing the articles of impeachment, and nothing's going to the floor of the House right now, but the session still holds political consequences for both sides of the aisle. CNSNews.com points out that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi bristled yesterday when a reporter asked her, do you agree? Do you concede now that an impeachment inquiry of President Trump is underway? She responded, have you not paid attention to what we've been talking about? For months, we've been saying we're doing three things. We're legislating, we're investigating, as six committees have been doing that for months. And third, we're litigating. So I stand by what we have been doing all along. I support what's happening in the Judiciary Committee because that enables them to do their process of interrogation and investigation. And I salute them for that work. She clearly wanted the focus to be on legislating, praised the Judiciary Committee for passing three gun control bills earlier that week. So legislate, investigate, litigate. That's the path we've been on, she said, and that's the path we continue to be on. FoxNews.com reports former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford announced Sunday he is running for president as a Republican, becoming the latest to challenge President Trump in the GOP primaries. Also, we have from Western Journal, the U.S. House approved President Trump's 150th judicial nominee Wednesday, far outpacing the benchmark set by Barack Obama at the same point in the presidency. Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham characterized the number of confirmations to date as, quote, a historic milestone. Coming to us from Western Journal, the Supreme Court gave the Trump administration a major win on Wednesday, upholding a policy that requires anyone seeking asylum to apply in a third country first. On Monday, the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ended a nationwide injunction against the policy, but allowed it to stay in effect within its jurisdiction that includes the border states of California and Arizona. CNSNews.com, President Donald Trump is hailing two big victories in North Carolina. A Republican, Dan Bishop, won the special election in North Carolina's 9th congressional district on Tuesday with 50.7% of the vote to Democrat Dan McCready's 48.7%. According to the New York Times, experts view the race as a test of President Trump's clout in suburban areas heading into the 2020 election. And Republican Gregory Murphy, easily defeated Democrat Alan Thomas in North Carolina's 3rd congressional district Tuesday, 61.7 to 37.5%. Going to the state of South Dakota, Western Journal reports that the South Dakota Democratic Party is shuttering its offices in locations in the state due to a lack of funds caused by extreme mismanagement and lack of oversight. The Argus leader reported the party will close its offices in Sioux Falls and Rapid City at the end of September, and its staff will work remotely, according to their chairwoman, Paula Hawks. Something that's been also very interesting is one of the things that Speaker Nancy Pelosi has not done and allowed debate on legislation is the markup of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Infants Act. So pro-life Republican leaders in the House held their own hearing Tuesday to make the case for a bill that would protect babies who survive abortions after Nancy Pelosi denied the use of a regular committee hearing room. Can't use a committee hearing room. So Republicans had their own hearing. They using a procedural tactic known as a discharge petition. Scalise and Congressman Wagner have tried to force a floor vote on the legislation. So far 80 times Democrats have blocked Republicans from setting up a vote on this legislation. So at this hearing that Republicans held, Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lesko said America shouldn't even be having a debate about whether survivors of abortion deserve medical care. I'd like you to listen to her very impassioned comments as she gave them at the hearing on Tuesday.
We need everyone across this country to demand that House leadership bring H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, to the floor, as we did in the 115th Congress, to reaffirm life. You know, I live for the day when abortion is not just illegal, but it's unthinkable. And what is happening to these babies that are born because they're not wanted is unconscionable in this country and anywhere. So I thank you from the bottom of my heart for your
That was Congresswoman Debbie Lesko of Arizona, as the Republicans held their own committee, their own hearing on this, could not go through the committee at this point. But so far, they have been blocked 80 times from setting up a vote on H.R. 962, the Born Alive Survivors Protection Act, as this has been blocked repeatedly in the House of Representatives. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more stories after the break. It's a news roundup here today on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY America Network.
To Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, does the fossil record prove evolution?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, it couldn't prove evolution because evolution didn't happen. I don't even think it supports evolution very well. What we see in the fossil record are the same kinds of plants and animals which are alive today. They can be put into various categories, such as clams or snails or brachiopods. Some animals, like the dinosaurs, have gone extinct, but none of the fossils seem to point to one type of animal evolving or changing into another type. That's because evolution simply didn't happen. What did happen is creation. Creation of the basic types of plants and animals that God created. They exist into the present day or else have gone extinct, but nothing else has arisen since then. And that's the way it is back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today, and just sharing with you a number of stories and issues going on around the nation and even around the world. We're going to continue on with a story from WND.com. It was a case brought by the Hamas-founded Council on American-Islamic Relations. A federal judge ruled that the FBI's no-fly watch list of known or suspected terrorists, well, he said it violates the constitutional rights of the people placed on it. This is U.S. District Judge Anthony Trenga granted summary judgment Wednesday to nearly two dozen Muslim U.S. citizens who had challenged the list with the help of CARE, the Washington Times reported. The judge is seeking additional legal briefs before deciding on a remedy, the Times reported. Also from Jihad Watch, they have some commentary here with a clip from the Anchorage Daily News. Alaska will pay $100,000 and change procedures to settle a lawsuit over the treatment of Muslim inmates. The Alaska Department of Law and the Council for American Islamic Relations, this is the indicted co-conspirator from the Holy Land Foundation trial, the Alaska Department of Law and the Council for American Islamic Relations have settled a lawsuit stemming from the feeding of Muslim prisoners during Ramadan. As part of the settlement, the state is paying up $102,500 to plaintiffs, to two plaintiffs. The settlement also requires changes in the way that the Department of Corrections feeds prisoners during Ramadan and in the way that prisoners are permitted to pray. CARE, a national organization, will provide religious sensitivity training to Department of Corrections employees for free. CNN is reporting at least 31 people were killed and more than 100 wounded in a stampede in the Iraqi city of Karbala as the Shia Muslim worshippers commemorated Ashura on Tuesday, or Ashura. According to Iraq's health ministry, Ashura is the anniversary of the death of Imam Hussein, grandson of the Prophet Muhammad. Stampede breaks out, at least 31 killed. From trackpersia.com, a young woman who had set herself on fire to protest her possible indictment for trying to enter a sports stadium in Iran has died in a hospital. The 29-year-old was arrested in March trying to attend a men's football, that would be soccer, match in Tehran. Women are not permitted in Iran to watch men's sports competitions in arenas. Again, this is another area of oppression against women. She was later released from detention, but she went back to the prosecutor's office September 1st to get her mobile phone back. She was told that the case is not over and she still might go to prison. At that point, she poured gasoline on herself, set herself on fire, received burns on 90% of her body, was put on life support, now has died. From the Western Journal, Canis is an island in the Tigris River in Iraq, a haven for the Islamic State terror group, and as of Tuesday morning, it's been bombed to smithereens by U.S. F-15 and F-35 fighter jets. The bombing campaign employed approximately 80,000 pounds of bombs pulverizing the island. Islamic State militants were believed to be using dense vegetation there to hide from coalition forces. Even after the bombing, CENTCOM confirmed continued ground clearance operations to clean up any jihadists remaining on the island. According to the Air Force Times, Iraqi special forces are conducting that ground clearance in order to prevent the Islamic State terror group from turning the island into a major transit hub from Syria. Also from Jihad Watch, the Palestinian Authority has now raised the salary of the suicide belt makers who murdered 16 people and injured 57. They also doubled the pay for slay salary of the jihadists who kidnapped and murdered three Israeli teenagers in 2014. The PA pays millions of shekels to jihad terrorists, whether they belong to Hamas, a Palestinian Islamic Jihad, or Fatah, whether you murdered children, women, or the elderly. What's important is that you are involved in terrorism against Israel and Israelis. So what does the Palestinian Authority do? They raise the salary of jihadi suicide belt makers. Also reported this week, this is jihadwatch.org, a facility in Tehran, which Israel claimed was used by the Islamic Republic as a secret atomic warehouse, has been found to contain traces of uranium, Reuters reported Sunday. The International Atomic Energy Agency, that's the IAEA, discovered the uranium traces while investigating a facility which Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu cited during an address to the UN last year as proof that Iran had been storing radioactive material in violation of the Iran nuclear deal. Well, the IAEA had asked Iran to explain the findings. Tehran has thus far refused to respond. By the way, Israeli elections coming up next week. And certainly a matter to keep in prayer. One other article here from Jihad Watch, and that is Burger King. They're quoting here from the Business Insider of South Africa. Burger King in South Africa dropping the word ham from its menu after adding bacon at some of the stores in order to be respectful of Muslim customers. Last Friday, the chain confirmed it had changed the names of three of its products, previously known as the double spicy hamburger, now just be a double spicy burger. The triple hamburger with cheese becomes the triple burger with cheese and so forth. Names are being changed to be more respectful of its halal client base, the chain said in a statement. From ChristianNews.net, the Pennsylvania Department of Transportation says that it plans to allow residents to identify as gender neutral on their driver's licenses beginning in 2020, giving applicants the option of selecting an X instead of male or female. Alexis Campbell is a spokesperson for PennDOT, told Fox News that the change comes as a result of the number of residents requesting the option, as well as trends in other states. PennDOT is glad to offer a license that is inclusive of everybody and can accurately reflect who they are. Guess what, folks? It does not accurately reflect. We are created male or female. Let's go to the College Fix. So one doctor and medical school professor at the University of Southern California is reportedly responsible for guiding some 1,000 children into transgender identities, according to a Reuters News report. Johanna Olson Kennedy is an associate professor of clinical pediatrics at USC's Keck School of Medicine, as well as the medical director at the Center for Trans Youth Health and Development at the Los Angeles Children's Hospital. Olson Kennedy has advocated gender-reaffirming treatment for significant numbers of children who claim transgender identities, comparing them to diabetic patients who need insulin. As a person who's confused on their gender is compared to a diabetic patient who needs insulin? She has also advised that the minimum age for cross-sex hormones treatment can be as young as 8 years old. According to Reuters, Olson Kennedy has worked with about 1,000 children and youths, assisting and affirming them as they adopt a transgender identity. And this is what Dr. Michelle Critella, this ideology, is what she calls child abuse. She's from the American College of Pediatricians. CNSNews.com reporting Pink News, popular online news source for the global LGBT plus community, praised one of Pope Francis's new appointments for Cardinal Archbishop Matteo Zuppi of Italy, stating that the Pope had named a pro-LGBT plus bishop as cardinal and that LGBT plus advocates are celebrating the selection. WND.com reporting that a California church vandalized after its pastors and members publicly opposed the presentation of a drag queen story hour in a local public library. The pro-family group Mass Resistance documented the satanic messages painted on the walls of the church before Sunday services last weekend. Messages included a star in a circle with the word Satan, Lucifer, King of Hell, and other obscenities as well, which we'll not be giving here. Channel 5 News out of Cleveland reporting that Cleveland transgender celebration held at Edgewater Park. The first ever Cleveland, Ohio transgender celebration held at Edgewater Park last Sunday. Samantha Murphy with the Human Rights Campaign said the event was an important way to bring the transgender community together. I found it interesting as well that the last weekend, the gay U.S. ambassador, homosexual ambassador to Bosnia, participated in their country's first pride parade. This was the first ever LGBT pride parade in Bosnia, and the U.S. ambassador to Bosnia, and his name, Eric Nelson, was among the participants. Over the weekend, the embassy's official Twitter account shared a picture highlighting the participation of Nelson. He's openly homosexual in the event, as well as had a statement declaring the embassy's official support for the march's message. But not so in Brazil, folks. The new president of Brazil, President Bolsonaro, he's instructed the Brazilian Ministry of Education to draft a bill that would prohibit gender ideology in Brazil's public elementary schools, reported LifeSiteNews.com. In 2018, Bolsonaro said that if elected president, one of the goals to get Brazil out of the worst positions in international education rankings is to combat the Marxist rubbish that has spread in educational institutions. It was during a joint press conference with President Trump at the White House in March, Bolsonaro said, quote, "In conclusion, may I say that Brazil and the United States stand side by side in their efforts to ensure liberties and respect the traditional family lifestyles and respect to God, our Creator, against the gender ideology and the politically correct attitudes and against fake news." Baptist Press reporting that the Supreme Court of the Philippines has dismissed a petition to legalize homosexual marriage, instead suggesting that the nation's Congress should address the issue. And let's go to the Alliance Defending Freedom. Their attorneys representing the floral artist and 74-year-old great-grandmother, Baronelle Stutzman, asked the U.S. Supreme Court Wednesday to take her case after the Washington Supreme Court ruled against her in June. The U.S. Supreme Court vacated the state's high court's previously ruling against her and ordered it to reconsider her case in light of last year's Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. Well, the state court came back with the same result, repeating verbatim much of what it said in its original decision. So Alliance Defending Freedom going back before the United States Supreme Court, petitioning them to rehear this case. This ruling gives the U.S. Supreme Court an opportunity now to resolve many important legal issues left unanswered after Masterpiece Cake Shop and to reaffirm that the First Amendment protects the freedom of Americans to hold different views about topics as fundamental as marriage. Okay, Tucson, Arizona listeners, your 42nd annual Tucson Pride Festival is returning to Reed Park September 28th. This year's theme, Rise Up, emphasizing the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots. That's right, taking place in Tucson, Arizona. And America's first ever gay bank approved by Michigan is the headline from the Daily Wire. On Monday, the state of Michigan approved a charter for the Superbia Credit Union, which will offer products and services specifically designed to meet the financial needs of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender customers. As the world's only LGBTQ profit-for-purpose provider, this bank is set here. The credit union is said to force the needed systematic change in banking, insurance, and healthcare, and install a new paradigm in funding LGBTQ social equality, the credit union's founder, Miles Myers, announced on LinkedIn. I want to tell you a little bit more about this. Again, the headline is the first ever gay bank approved by Michigan. I'll tell you more about it after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network.
Nearly 90% of Christian children attend a public school. Filmmaker Colin Gunn, a homeschool father of seven, went on the field trip of a lifetime. Driving an old school bus, Colin and his family traveled across the nation, exploring the origins and social impact of public school education to discover if children are morally and physically safe, if public schools are religiously neutral, and should Christians try to be salt and light in secular schools. 102 minutes in length, it's an impactful message. In the companion book, Indoctrination, some 18 writers come together to look at how the educational system is actively at work to alter your child's moral values, worldview, and religious beliefs. It explores the biblical principles regarding education and who is ultimately responsible for our children's future. The Indoctrination DVD is available for a donation of $22. The book is available for a donation of $18. Or you can obtain both for a donation of $35. To obtain yours, call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
We've got a news roundup day here today, and you just never know what's coming next, folks. Here we have, and that's the headline, America's first ever gay bank approved by Michigan. This is from the dailywire.com. A Superbia Credit Union will offer products which are often outside the scope of a more traditional lender, such as loans for transgender people in the process of transitioning, said Miles Myers, founder of New York-based Superbia Services Incorporated, which created this credit union. Michigan's decision greenlights the new LGBT-focused credit union to form a board and begin hiring executives. The financial institution plans to begin offering online services to customers in early 2020. And it's hitting the banking industry. It's also hitting sports, soccer in particular, as LifeSiteNews.com reports. To promote LGBT Pride Week, the United Soccer Coaches Organization is calling on teams and young players to support LGBT athletes and coaches by wearing rainbow-hued laces on their cleats. For the third year in a row, United Soccer Coaches promoting a homosexual agenda on the playing field, reports LifeNews.com. LifeSite News, that is. According to the USC website, September 16th through the 22nd, marking the annual Rainbow Laces Week, also known as the Play with Pride, promoted by the United Soccer Coaches LGBT and Allies Advocacy Group. The website offers LGBT rainbow laces free of charge and calls on young people to wear LGBT rainbow laces on their cleats that week. I don't think this has ever been done before, to my knowledge, but Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, she was the only Democratic presidential candidate to accept an invitation to RuPaul's Drag Con last weekend, a celebration of cross-dressing closely tied to the gender fluidity movement. The event featured drag performances as well as panels on topics ranging from drag tips to art, culture, and political resistance. Warren was the only Democrat in the 2020 field to have presence at the convention by delivering a video message to the group. Here is Liz Warren.
Hello, DragCon. It's Elizabeth Warren, and thank you so much for inviting me to be a part of this special weekend. And thank you, Headcount and Swing Left, for joining in to help make sure everyone is ready to register to vote. This is how we fight for our values. If you're not registered, get registered. If you're not sure, double check. Even if you're really sure, it never hurts to triple check. When we make our voices heard, when we get into the fight, we win. I'm in this fight for an America that works for everyone, not just for a thinner and thinner slice at the top. I'm in this fight for full LGBTQ plus equality. We've got a lot of work to do to make sure that everyone is free to be who they are and to love who they love. A record number of trans Americans were killed last year, disproportionately trans women of color. We need to call it out, and we need to fight back. Everyone should be able to go to school, to work, to get health care, or just walk down the street without fear of discrimination or violence. Equal means equal, period. And that's what I'm fighting for. And I'm honored to fight by your side. I hope you all have a fabulous time at DragCon, and I'm counting on you to keep making your voices heard. Thank you, and persist.
Interesting. Senator Elizabeth Warren addressing the DragCon convention here just last weekend. Interesting indeed. I can only imagine what policies would come forth from an Elizabeth Warren administration. Troubling news here from thenewamerican.com. In an effort to curb the rapid expansion of the Christian faith across communist China, the Beijing government ramping up its enforcement of a law long on the books forbidding children from converting to Christianity before the age of 18. Eric Berklin of China Partner, an organization that trains Chinese Christian leaders, told MissionNetworkNews.com that the law specifies that you cannot proselytize or you cannot convert somebody under the age of 18. Berklin said that before the law was enforced, people were having their children come to church and many churches starting Sunday schools, teaching their children Bible verses and Christian songs. Well, with the crackdown, however, many churches have been notified by Religious Affairs that they can no longer conduct Sunday school classes in their churches. They even put up signage up in the entrance of some churches to indicate just that. Coming from International Christian Concern, a six-year-old girl in Vietnam was savagely beaten. Why? Because her parents decided to follow Jesus Christ, according to Christian persecution watchdog Open Doors UK. Her parents recently decided to stop the village practice of ancestor worship and to follow Jesus instead. That's angered the local authorities. Despite villagers' attempts to ask them to renounce the faith, the family refused. Villagers eventually came to their house, made the same demand. They endured being mocked, beaten, dragged over the rocky ground for more than 2 hours. Once they got to the entrance to the village, her parents were told to leave. Members of the church took them to a nearby hospital where they were treated for 3 days. But attackers hit this little girl on the head, punched her in the stomach. She became very ill, had severe head and stomach pain, and had to be rushed to the hospital where she fell into a coma for a month. Even when she eventually woke up, she was unable to even recognize her parents. The family's pastors intervened, so local authorities allowed them to return to their houses, yet villagers continued to threaten and curse them because of their newfound faith in Christ. We've got an easy Christianity in our country. There are many who are paying dearly. And yet, we see the mockery of Christianity taking place even in our country. As we see just recently, the last day of the Burning Man Festival, held in the Nevada desert, began some 30 years ago. Some 70,000 people were said to have attended this out in the desert. At a ceremony, a large wooden effigy of a man is burned, ceremony referred to by Druids as the Wicker Man, almost universal amongst pagan cults and evolved as a replacement for human sacrifice. It's touted as being a secular event. Many of Burning Man's major elements are rooted in idolatry. Many installments are a temple to the Hindu goddess Shiva, 70-foot large, seven-headed red metal dragon on wheels. Massive camp is set up to form a massive pentagram in the desert. Well, this year features many different mini-camps, including one titled the Seven Sins Lounge. Several of the camps are dedicated specifically to promiscuous and public sexuality. There was a display made of hundreds of unclothed Barbie dolls marching into two kitchen ovens with some crucified on pink crosses, represented by the Barbie Death Camp and Wine Bistro. Display was so offensive the Anti-Defamation League is currently investigating it, and pictures showing of Barbies marching into an oven with a Barbie hanging from a cross. And folks, we see the secularization that is going on in our society today. Much secularization. Matter of fact, we find that, let me just find the story here. Here's a headline, Democrats ready to replace worship of God with worship of the state. In San Francisco, the DNC adopted a resolution August 24th, hailing the religiously unaffiliated as the largest religious group within the Democratic Party, growing from 19% in 2007 to 1 in 3 today. Passed a DNC resolution declaring that morals, values, and patriotism are not unique to any particular religion and are not necessarily reliant on having a religious worldview at all. Matter of fact, NewAmerican.com points out that a Democratic congressman on Sunday called it preposterous that witnesses are still being required to say the phrase, "So help me God," as part of their oaths when testifying before Congress. Representative Jared Huffman made the remark on Free Thought Matters. It's a program by the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And also, Pacific Justice Institute reporting this week that there is a battle going on as they are fighting against proposed regulations by the New York Department of Education that would have a devastating effect on religious education in the state. Proposed regulations would require private schools to provide the substantial equivalent of a public school education. Parents and rabbis who sought the assistance of PJI, they have their ultra-Orthodox Hasidic Judaism. They've been training their youth in yeshivas for many, many years. Schools instruct in subjects as math and English while focusing primarily on the Torah and the Talmud. The proposed regulations would essentially outlaw their way of life and education. Proposed regulations have been raised alarm bells among parochial school leaders, homeschool families. Meanwhile, the New York Civil Liberties Union, affiliated with the ACLU, sent a letter complaining that these regulations do not go far enough. Can I add a little bit of humor to all of the issues going on today? WND.com has the story, those who promote the so-called man-made climate change, a belief in that, they'll have a meltdown of their own upon hearing this. A ship carrying 16 climate change warriors looking to document purported melting ice conditions. Well, they got trapped in ice last week in the Hinlopen Strait. That's halfway between Norway and the North Pole. The Sweden flag, MS Malmo, became stuck September 3rd. According to the Maritime Bulletin, the ship is on Arctic tour with climate change documentary film team and tourists concerned with climate change and melting Arctic ice. The report said all 16 climate change warriors had to be evacuated by helicopter in challenging conditions. All are safe. This is the second time this year that unexpectedly thick ice has caused a problem for a vessel going to document so-called the shrinking ice in the Arctic, and they had to be airlifted out of there. And, folks, this climate stuff going on, it's just getting preposterous. As Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation points out, how far will people go to fight climate change? You might have thought you've seen the limits. Well, think again. Magnus Söderlund, Swedish behavioral scientist, professor of marketing and the head of Center for Consumer Marketing at the Stockholm School of Economics, at a seminar he presented at a gastro summit about food for the future in Stockholm, September 3rd and 4th, Söderlund argued, as reported in Epoch Times, that we must awaken the idea. Listen to this, folks. It'll turn your stomach, but you need to know where this is going. That we must awaken the idea of eating human flesh in the future as a way of combating the effects of climate change. The seminar's talking points were many. One of them was, is cannibalism the solution to food sustainability in the future? I'd like to open our phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Our telephone number is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. Taking your calls. Maybe you've got a comment on one of these stories or other current event stories. So much going on. Debates last night again. Much happening there. But again, our number, 800-733-9829. By the way, the New American reporting that the Green New Deal, a fanciful piece of socialist legislation brought forth by freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Senator Ed Markey, is moving forward, but in pieces, according to AOC. One of the things I think is exciting, she said on Tuesday, is that the legislation that we are planning on introducing is not one broad sweeping piece of legislation. We're breaking it up into parts. Folks, the plan is to put this in incrementally. The initial pieces of Green New Deal legislation could be seen as early as this month, according to AOC. Among those first pieces would be what she describes as the Green New Deal housing plan. And then on the coming docket, calling for a complete transition away from automobiles that use fossil fuels. You've got to be aware of what's happening, but now taking the Green New Deal, breaking it up, putting in other smaller pieces of legislation to accomplish their greater goal. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. This is the week we remember those who lost their lives in the tragic attacks of 9/11. Terrorists attacked America, but most Americans don't know who was behind the attack. Yes, they might know that the Saudi hijackers were indeed from Saudi Arabia. But do they know that Iran was also involved? Do they know that the hijackers received training on flight simulators in Iran? Do they know that a special mark was put on their passport so that when they were moving in and out of Iran, their passports would not be stamped? Thus, when they went to the American embassy in Saudi Arabia to get passports verified into the U.S., no such stamp showed up. A federal judge has ruled that Iran owes the 9/11 families millions of dollars for their participation in the terrorist attacks. And yet, Americans to this day don't realize Islam was largely behind it, and that means Saudi Arabia and Iran.
By the way, if you missed the program on vaping we did with Dr. David Stevens, I suggest you go back and listen to it on our website, crosstalkamerica.com. Kansas just confirmed the first death in the state related to an outbreak of a lung disease related to vaping. Some 450 possible cases of lung disease related to vaping reported in 33 states. Could be as many as six deaths so far. Well, let's go to the phone lines. We have Steve calling in from Salina, Kansas. Steve, you're on Crosstalk.
Jamie talked about that stomach churning thing about the cannibalism. You know, most of what you talked about today churned my stomach, especially about the abortion and that impassionate representatives talking about, you know, what are we going to do with these babies. But, you know, I've heard clips and things about the left and how they look at babies. One woman said she looked at a baby as a tapeworm, and it's a parasite. Mm. And if that parasite's in the body, we need to get rid of it. Mm. And now the trend is, it gets worse than this. The trend now is to get pregnant so they can have abortions because it makes them feel good.
Terrible indeed. The heart deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, Steve.
Jim, I'll tell you, you just got to pray for these people. Yeah. You know, there was a time this used to really make me mad and upset, but I'm getting older in life now, and I just pray for these people because, you know, they're going to stand before Jesus Christ one of these days, and he's going to, you know, judge them. And can you imagine the terror in the heart? And they look back and see that they could have did the opposite, but now where they're headed to.
How badly they need Jesus. Thank you, Steve. Tom is calling next in Port Wing, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to make a comment on these ever-growing stories about transsexualism. And the reason why, I believe, is because the Supreme Court, when they came out with the Obergefell case and endorsed homosexual marriage, the left learned that we as a society were not willing to fight for marriage, and they decided we will shove transsexualism down their throats because we got away with it with gay marriage. So we need to fight this battle now against transsexualism, or we will lose a greater portion of societal norms.
Thank you, Tom, for the comments. And coming up in early October, the new term begins for the United States Supreme Court. They've got three cases dealing with this LGBT issue. Be in prayer for this court. Prior to that, coming up, we will be conducting a program with Matt Staver on that issue during that, I think it's September 30th, he's scheduled to be with us. Jackie calling in from Mobile, Alabama. You're on the air, Jackie.
Didn't Jesus say that we'd be praying for him to come back?
We certainly need to be looking for him to come back.
And praying.
Indeed. Thank you, Jackie. Okay, thank you for the call here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. We're going to Coshocton, Ohio. Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah. Jim?
Ron, turn your radio down, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. You know, every time I listen to Crosstalk, I hope things are improving, but it's just getting worse. When you said that this woman in another country, she said that we may have to revert to eating human flesh for survival.
Yeah.
That's no surprise to me, you know, because I had that thought. You know, I thought that this would eventually happen. Jim, here's what I'm going to
say. Well, let me just say, Ron, that it's critically important here. I don't know where you're going with that statement, so I'm going to not put it over the air here at this point. But certainly these are troubling times, and we do need to come at these matters in prayer before God. But again, it should burden us to proclaim God's word through our lives, through our witness. Thank you for the call. Jeff is calling in from Albany, Kentucky. You're on the air, Jeff.
Yes, I want to just make a quick comment about what was said by the Democratic candidates in the debate last night about gun control. All of them seem to have the imagination that they think they can walk into the Oval Office, if God forbid they were to win the presidency, and make an executive order and start seizing weapons. And people need to understand in this country that there's not a gun problem in this country. There's a heart problem. There's a problem with lack of discipline in the home. There's a lack of problem. There's a problem with people not educating their children and not keeping their children in church. And there is a problem in this country with we just need Jesus. Now, I did notice one of the candidates last night, he tried to make a point, and they immediately cut him off. The folks that were asking questions immediately cut him off, wouldn't let him say it. It was Joe Biden when all the talk was talking about taking people's guns immediately, when he said that he tried to tell them that you can't do that. It's constitutionally, you cannot do that. Now, I'm not saying I abide by anything that Joe Biden would want to do as President of the United States. However, he didn't understand it. The problem would be that I don't think he would have the backbone to control the rest of his Democratic cohorts if he were to get in it, the way something stupid wouldn't happen like that anyway.
Yeah.
But just with the point of it, that all of them, out of all 10 people up there last night, only one understood, I can't walk into the Oval Office in executive order to start seizing people's firearms.
Thank you, Jeff, for the comments here today. I'm almost out of time, but I want to get to, let's see, we got Pat in Portage. And, Pat, you're on the air.
America is yellow. It's going to give up its guns because it's afraid to die quick, but it will die slowly. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for your comments there, Pat. And troubling issues indeed, friends. I want to also just quickly let you be made aware of the Quebec court in Canada. The doctor is now allowed to euthanize patients who are not terminally ill. This is a decision that just came down yesterday from the Quebec Superior Court that downed the requirement that a person be terminally ill before they qualify for euthanasia in Canada. And then also, a doctor in The Hague, Netherlands, has expanded euthanasia by acquitting a doctor who euthanized a woman with dementia who resisted the injection. She says no, he did it anyways, restrained her, gave a sedative in her coffee. And the decision here from the courts is that that the doctor did this in good faith. Folks, we're living in troubling times. We're living in very troubling times. Paul, the apostle, called these perilous times, and the last days perilous times would come, and he described those and told Timothy, you continue on in the faith. You continue on that which you have been taught. Continue, ladies and gentlemen, in the word. Do not abandon sound biblical doctrine. Don't abandon the truth. The truth never changes. And certainly we need to understand that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, tells us what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. We need to proclaim the word, even in a time such as this, even as Jeremiah the prophet did, even as Jonah cried out for people to turn to the one true God. Indeed, we need to follow that. Our time is gone. The Lord's Day is coming up. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church, folks. Continue in prayer. Continue being salt. Continue to be light. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.